Look at your neighbor and say, I don't need to gain any more weight. Come on. Because through some of the experiences, the negativity, the bad exposure in our lives, we've attracted this weight in our lives that God says, when you have things you don't need, you can't go the distance that He has called and created you to go. In fact, when you allow these weights to come into your life and you begin to carry them around, it hinders you from the joy of the experience that God wants to give you and I on the journey. Sometimes people wake up every day and they go, oh, Lord, not another day. That's because maybe there's weights, there's hindrances on our lives. And this comes from carrying weights that don't help you. Let me tell you something. I don't mind doing it for an hour, but I'm not going home with those weights. I'm dropping them. I'm running out the door. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set up before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a myriad of truths within these two verses of Scripture, but the one that I want to focus on just for a couple moments this morning is that one pertaining to weight. And I think I looked that up, and I looked at what the Greek word was for it, and I found this word that I'm not sure, maybe I've heard it before, but when I looked at it, it was like, whoa. And the word is protuberance. You know, I said in the first service, I asked if anybody had heard that word before. So I want to ask you, have you ever heard the word protuberance before? Put your hand up. Well, there's a couple. Garrett? I said in the first service, Lenny, of course. I said in the first service, if Garrett was here, he would have put his hand up and given me a long doctoral dissertation on what the word meant. But protuberance is in reference to a weight in that verse of Scripture. It's another word for it is an encumbrance. But the incredible thing about that word protuberance, referring to the weight, is that it's something that is not only picked up and carried, but it's something also that protrudes out from you. I thought about that a little bit. And isn't it strange that you don't have to be around many people long to find out whether or not, if you're sensitive at all, if they're carrying some kind of weight in their life, because it will even have an effect on you. They, you know, I've heard people say, well, they've got a kind of a stinky spirit about them. That's just another kind of a difficult way of saying maybe they have a protuberance about them. Maybe they're carrying an encumbrance. Maybe a weight has attached itself to their lives that has caused them not only to have the weight, but the Bible goes on to say, cast aside every weight and the sin. And that word, and the sin, is in direct reflection and connection to the weight that we allow to come into our lives. You see, because you can't run the distance, you can't go to the place that God has called you to the destiny as He's created for your life, if you're carrying around an unnecessary weight that'll keep you from your purpose and from the destiny that God has for your life. And the word sin there is not, you know, in reference to, you know, how many mistakes you make. It simply means missing the mark. You know, I've had a hip replacement. It's been 13, 14 years ago now. I'm telling you, when I had the hip replacement, I was worried that I'd never walk again. And the doctor told me at the time, you know, you really shouldn't do direct, you know, impactful type of things. He said, you probably shouldn't run much. I used to play racquetball 4 or 5 times a week. He said, that's the worst because you're jarring that. And so I just never did that. And, you know, in the last few months, I started doing just a little running. I got to tell you, you know, guys like Todd Crossett and his son Alex and even Cheryl, I mean, they go out and run 40, 50 miles. Brad, he just got done. He ran 27 miles and then went to work all day. I don't like those people. But anyways, I started running. I find out, you know, I've got some extra weight that causes me when everybody else is going, I got to go off to the side. I just can't do what they could do. And because of that, I miss the mark of where I'm supposed to go. You understand what I'm trying to say right now? That when you allow these weights that have come into your life through whatever, maybe somebody said something to you, maybe you grew up in a difficult home, maybe your father hurt you or your mother said something, maybe you've been through a divorce or a breakup, maybe someone has assaulted you physically or with words is bad and has created this weight that everywhere you go, you have this protuberance that's hanging off of you that keeps you from going the distance of where God wants you to go. And I didn't plan this with the worship team, but I thought that old song, shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and because of it, I have no longer stayed the same. And that's what he does. And we need to find out what creates this, because all of a sudden, you find, you know, I'm carrying this around, and I don't even know where it came from. One of the causes is simply unfulfilled expectations. Human beings have this natural dependency and tendency to pin their hopes and their happiness on fulfilled expectations. And when that doesn't happen, it crushes us. And if we don't allow the plan and the purposes of God to influence our life, if we don't know that God said, I'll work everything out for good, even if it doesn't come in the fashion, in the manner that you hoped it would, I've still got a plan for your life. If we hinge it just on not getting what we want when we want it, it'll cause a weight to come upon our lives. And God said, I want to help you with that. I don't want you to accept those things and carry that around you, because when you do, you miss the mark that I have called for you. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But listen, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And Jesus is the only one that can bring a longing to be fulfilled in your life and in mine. And it may not even look the way you had hoped it would look. It may look and be totally different. But when you put your life in the hand of God, he will lead you and take you and guide you and bless you and cover you and protect you and help you and give you favor like you had never thought before. And then there's this pain that's never been treated in our lives. And sometimes we're just trained. Our society, our culture tells us, you know, just get over it, get through it. But Jesus is the only one that can help you and I with the pain. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they dress the wound of my people as though that it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. And God has an answer for that in his word again. I talked about it maybe in the last couple of weeks that, you know, we're going to God, but sometimes God wants us to go to a friend. Sometimes God wants us to sit down with somebody, James 5:16, to confess what it is that is in our lives that is holding us down. He says, talk about it with one another. Confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you sit down with somebody because of something in your life, and you begin to talk to them, and they say to you, let me pray with you. We minimize the power that takes place right in that moment. And then you gotta get out of the victim mentality. Listen, I'm sorry for what has happened to you. I'm not minimizing what somebody did to you or what they said to you or what they didn't do for you. I'm not saying that. But sooner or later, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has gone, behold, everything becomes brand new. And God gives you and I a brand new life. He gives us something new. And then we have to continually do this. My brothers and sisters, listen. You have to learn to forgive and to let go. Well, I forgave 10 years ago, but it's still there. You've got to learn daily to forgive and to let go. Come on, so I ought to hear a few amens on that. You have to learn to forgive and let go. Forgiving isn't about condoning what somebody has done. That's not what this is about. But it's about shifting your own perspective. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ forgave you. Listen, you got to master that. Work on it every day. You think you can go by one day without having to have this come to you where you have to forgive? And none of us will master that every day because the enemy will set you up and put you, you'll get in the most precarious environments and situations where something will trip your trigger and you'll just like, ooh, I want to choke that guy. I want to, don't judge me now, I'm just being honest. I've never wanted to choke any of you, just so if anybody's wondering. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Then we've got these unresolved yesterdays. You know, we just think we can just, again, you just let it, you know. Well, how about this? I don't want to talk about it. And Ephesians 4 says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger while you're still angry. This is for some couples here this morning. Somebody said to Patty one time, did you guys ever have an argument at night? Yep. Did you let the sun go down? Yeah, but we just stayed up all night and fought it through. Don't let the sun go down, because if you do, you give the devil an open door, a foothold, because you'll have days when something will trip you up. Don't go to bed with it. Deal with it. Face it off. People will hurt you that have been hurt or are hurt, but don't carry it around. Release it. Let it go. You can't get to your destiny. You can't achieve your purpose. You can't go the distance if you're carrying unnecessary weight around on your life. Come on, amen me on that. Help me out here. Number four is an unhealthy view of yourself. We walk around in life. We're rough on ourselves, and then we've got other people. If we're not hard enough on us, we've got other people to be hard enough on us. And the only way to know who you are is to know who God says you are. Romans 12, verse 3, out of the Message, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. It's what God says about you that matters. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says that you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I've been worked on by God, and now I can do the works of God. Colossians 2:10 says, I am complete in Christ. Colossians 3:1 says, I have been raised up with Him. He says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. God lifts you up above the fray and above all the junk and above all the noise. I am a new creature in Christ. I just read it a moment ago. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are new. Jesus says we're the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:13, he says, we are the light of the world. That's who you and I are. And then we got these just unrepented sins. God's not mad at you, but there's a cleansing stream that flows that he wants you and I to come to him. And just if we confess our sin to him, the Bible says in 1 John, he is faithful and just, not to hold it over you, but to cleanse you of it. And he's washed you and I of every sin. Psalm 32:3-4, listen to what the psalmist says. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as it is in the heat of summer. And I believe with all my heart that in this house today, God's hand has been extended to some. And if you don't respond to it, you'll carry that thing around and it'll keep you from fulfilling the best that God has for you. That touch, that hand from the Holy Spirit is not to condemn you or to tell you how bad you are. It's to say, hey, I'm here. I love you. Come on home. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. Because you can't fix a spiritual problem with a natural problem. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And I want to just insert this. I didn't do it in the first service. All the challenges and the difficulty, the things that have been going on in our city in the last couple months, the deaths, the craziness in the drug epidemic. We need natural means to help with that. But let me tell you something. There's only going to be one way that's going to stem that tide. And that's if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek the face of God. He will come. He will push that stuff out of the way. He will cancel the assignment that the enemy has over some people's life. And he will help people. Come on today. He will help them move to their purpose and to the plan that they have for their lives. There's some that are in here this morning. The enemy wants to destroy your life because you're a powerhouse for God. And if you would just surrender to him completely and totally, he would do something in your life that is far beyond anything you could ever do in your own strength. Amen. I feel God up in here right now. He's got a plan. He's got something great for you. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive those thoughts. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of you need some new thoughts. You need to turn off the television. Get your nose out of the garbage on social media. Quit getting involved in every negative, controversial comments and complaints that the world wants to spit out in your direction. Stay out of it. Let God begin to change who you are as an individual. Ephesians 4, you were taught to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, and to make new in the attitude, be made new in the attitude of your mind. And we keep on shoving all this junk in this garbage, in this 2x2 space up here. And we wonder why garbage is coming back out again. And Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. It'll loose you. It'll liberate you. It'll help take the weights that you're carrying on your life. It'll help you get rid of them. And you need to do that today. How do you do it, Deb? I'm just going to close with these three simple little truths. You need to know this, that no matter what, God loves you. Well, yeah, I know he loves me, but My son Ben was a big butter. Everything. Yeah, Daddy, but. Ben, I want you to. Yeah, but Daddy, I can't, but. I used to say, Benny, no buts. God loves you. He doesn't just like you. He loves you. He loves you enough to embrace all of the stuff in your life. All of the things of your past, the hurt, the breakup, the divorce, the loss, the addiction. All of that. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may live. He's not here to condemn you. And the second truth is that God, he can make you free. Instead of you carrying it around all the time, it's not helping you. It's not like you want to carry away. So I think some people do it as a badge of honor. How you doing? Oh, I'm just tired out. Come on. Throw them shoulders back. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. If God be for us, who can be against us? Therefore, Romans 8, 1 and 2, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you and I free. Thank God from the law of sin and of death. That black cloud that's been hanging over you and following you, that can be gone today. Are you listening to me right now? It can be gone from you today. Those hurtful words that somebody spoke over your life, that didn't say to you, that tried to afflict you with, you can be free of that today. God wants to help you. Because lastly, God will restore you and I. Thank God for the power of restoration in our lives. Amen. Psalm 71:20 says, though you have made me to see troubles, many and bitter, you'll restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. I'm speaking to someone now who God is bringing up out of the depths of despair, out of the depths of brokenness, out of the depths of pain, out of the depths you felt resentment, you felt inadequate, you felt insufficient, you felt talked about, you felt scorned, you felt beat up, beat down. He's going to bring you up out of that today. I believe that with all of my heart. Just close your eyes with me just a moment. I know that when I speak like this, that there's people here, you're grown up, but you're still carrying around a weight from your childhood. You could be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I've talked to 70 and 80-year-old men that have cried in front of me because of what happened in their life when they were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I'm sorry for what has happened, but I'm here to tell you today, God can change all that in your life. Today, you need to give Jesus your heart and give him your life. Make him number one in your life today. Thank you, Lord God. Andy, just hold just for a moment. I sense the Spirit of the living God working so strong right now in somebody's heart and life. I don't want to do anything to disturb that. Let him in right now. Let him into your life right now. I want the prayer people to come down front. I sense him changing and lifting some of the burdens off your life. Some of you, you're contemplating a move in your life. And the Lord wants to be involved in that. Some of you are contemplating an incredible decision that God is not a part of. And he said, I want to be a part of that today. There's somebody here, you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus. Today, he wants you to do that. I'm going to pray for you. If any of those things have touched your heart today, before you leave this house, I want you to come down. I want you to ask one of these people to pray with you and to pray over you today. Some of you need to give your life to Jesus. Some of you, you've given your heart to him, but you've drifted away. You thought you could go back and do what you used to do, and it'll never work that way again. He wants to be Lord in your life. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you, but if God is tugging on your heart, if the Holy Spirit is reaching out to you today, I want you to respond to him before you leave. Father, I give you thanks and I give you all the praise for what you have done and what you are capable of doing in every single one of our lives. May you be glorified. May you be lifted up. May you be honored today in every one of our lives. I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Man, I love you. You're beautiful. Let these folks pray over you today before you leave. If you have any need in your life, if anything that I spoke to you today that rings in your heart, come down. Let these men and women just stand in agreement with you, pray with you, believe God for something great for your life. This was for you today. I love you. Go in his grace. Make sure you hug somebody. Bless them before you leave today.